many tools, too much stress, and way too many bills.
Odoo replaces it all. One connected platform for every part of your business, so you can work faster, smarter, and for less. Odoo, the only software you'll ever need. Try it free today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, 9:10, the Cardinals going to Conclave in about a half an hour, maybe a little bit less. We're going to spend an hour talking about that entire thing. We have a huge Catholic population in this area, and it is a historical event. It is an event that is just steeped in tradition, and we're welcoming in Tim Gabrielli, the Gudoff Chair in Catholic Intellectual Traditions at the University of Dayton. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing quite well. How are you, Tommy?
I'm okay, sir. Thanks for taking the time with us. I really do appreciate it. Let's talk about the practical first, I guess. They had Mass earlier, and tell me about the Cardinals themselves and the everyday logistics of it. What do? They pack a bag? They summon from? No, I'm serious. They're summoned from wherever they are, and they stay at a hotel. What happens?
That's totally right. Many of the cardinals had been in Rome for the funeral of Pope Francis, and typically those who are there for the funeral stay the additional 10 days or so until the conclave begins today. Those who weren't able to make it in at that time have trickled in over the intervening time, and they've been up until today, through yesterday, really, they've been having conversations called general congregations, which are really congregations, discussions about the state of the church, the state of the world, what are the kinds of questions and considerations. And so they are prepared now after, as you said, the Mass going on this morning. At some point today, after that Mass, all those cardinals will take an oath of secrecy, and everyone else will be excluded from the Sistine Chapel, and the cardinals will begin their work. During the time, they stay in the Casa San Marta, which is kind of adjacent to the Sistine Chapel. There are some folks there who care for the everyday needs of taking care of their meals and things like that, who are also sworn to secrecy, and they will stay there until we have an election.
So let me ask you this, Professor, and I think it's the elephant in the room. If all of this is shrouded in secrecy, how do we know what goes on in here?
Well, in short, we don't know what goes on, but we will know when there is an election of a pope through smoke signals, believe it or not. So they over the past week, construction workers installed a chimney, actually two chimneys inside the Sistine Chapel, out of the roof will come probably twice a day. We're expecting smoke and a color. And so if the Pope has not been elected, that smoke will be black. And when a Pope is elected, that smoke will be white. And probably about 1 o'clock Eastern time, somewhere around there, we may expect to see the first smoke come from the chimney. On the first day of the conclave, in the afternoon Rome time, the Cardinals have an option that first day to do an initial ballot. The past two conclaves, the one that elected Pope Francis and the one before him that elected Pope Benedict, both did that vote on the first day, but they don't have to. So if they do proceed with that vote, we should see some smoke around 1 o'clock Eastern. I mean, odds are it will be black smoke. It would be very stunning if they elected someone on the first ballot.
That in and of itself is kind of steeped in tradition, because as I understand it, I remember as a kid my mother telling me they would burn it with wet straw or dry straw. I forgot which produced which color, but now they've actually taken to putting smoke canisters in there so there'd be no confusion, right?
That's right. Yeah, there has been.
If it comes out gray, nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah, everybody looks at each other and says, "What is that?" Right. So they now have some chemicals that they mix in there, so that it becomes sharply black or clearly white.
I want to bring the audience into this on the Oquinard Jeweler text me line at 504-260-1870. If you have any questions about the process, about the papacy, etc., we're talking to. Pardon me. All right, Dave Cohen, our news director, joins me now with a weather update, I guess. Will we go?
Yeah, we have a severe thunderstorm warning.
With the National.
All right, your microphone's on now. Go
Tommy,
ahead.
The National Weather Service has just issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Orleans, Jefferson, St. Bernard, St. Charles, and Plaquemines parishes. This goes until 10:15. They say that a severe thunderstorm is now located along a line from Metairie to Barataria and moving east at 35 miles an hour. They say the storm has the potential of 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts and penny-size hail, falling again in St. Bernard, St. Charles, Orleans, Jefferson, and Plaquemines parishes over the next hour, Tommy.
All right, so for the next hour, and the area is affected with a severe thunderstorm warning again, because people tend to hear
pretty much all of the South Shore.
St.
Bernard, St. Charles, Orleans, Jefferson, and Plaquemines.
And penny-sized hail. I know they had ping pong ball-sized hail yesterday on the North Shore. We don't want any of that, because I had to replace a roof due to hail. And while the Cardinals are praying in the Vatican, I certainly hope they throw up a prayer that there's no severe weather or hail in Belchase, because I don't want to buy a roof. But I guess they're...
I don't think you're on their radar
right
now.
I'm pretty busy with that.
60-mile-an-hour wind gusts. We could also see some damage to small structures and roofs, and we could see power outages as well.
Thank you for the next hour. Thank you, Dave Cohen, our news director. Back to Tim Gabrielli, the Gudoff Chair in Catholic Intellectual Traditions at the University of Dayton. Professor, I would imagine, when you talk about the first vote, this, that... And going back to when the previous pope dies, there has to be some kind of policy and procedure manual somewhere that somebody refers to see how we go about electing a new pope?
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's a document that was first put together, formalized by John Paul II, who was two popes before Pope Francis, and has been revised periodically. But it specifies, I mean, you can think of it in two ways. I mean, there's the document that specifies the procedures and by which the conclave goes forward. And then there's actually a document focused on the prayer structure of the conclave. So it includes this mass. It includes the chant that the cardinals will sing, invoking the Holy Spirit as they begin. And so we should keep in mind. I think there's a sense when we think election, we think politics. And of course, there's wherever there are human beings, there are small p politics. But the cardinals really see this framed by prayer and asking God to come upon the conclave to be able to make clear to the cardinals for whom they should vote to make that next pope clear. So I think, yes, both in terms of practicalities and in terms of prayer.
As for the reality of this, and I'm not trying to offend anybody or say anything bad about anybody, but to be a cardinal, I would think you have to be a somewhat dominant kind of guy, and I would think you have to have risen through the ranks to get promoted to cardinal. And along those lines, are we dealing with, generally speaking, Professor, some pretty big egos here or what?
I would say there's a whole range of personalities. I think one of the things that was always very striking about Pope Francis was that he, much was made of the fact that as a bishop, he continued to ride public transportation in Argentina. He continued to wear his worn black shoes that he had since he was much younger, and that kind of that stood out. That kind of being one of the people. He continued to stay in the Casa Plaza San Marta, where the Cardinals will be staying, instead of moving into the Apostolic Palace. He liked to be around people. He went to Mass every day with all the workers in that vicinity. And so, you know, that was a lot about his personality. Of course, it doesn't mean that if there's a Cardinal who gets elected who decides to stay in the Apostolic Palace that he is more standoffish. Maybe he's more of an introvert. But those things were striking. And I think there's a whole range of personalities among the Cardinals, some who are more gregarious and want to, you know, shake hands and be present among the people, some who are a little more reserved, some who are more bookish and intellectual, some who tend to be more accessible. And so I think I wouldn't conclude that there's any particular personality. It takes all kinds.
So along those lines, you're not supposed to campaign, correct? That's against the rules, or that's discouraged?
Well, I would say it's the latter. There's no rule about it, but it is the sort of thing. If you think about it, there's this sense among the Cardinals that who would really want this job to have to be in this position? And so if someone is seen as outward campaigning, that's usually a bad sign that maybe their priorities aren't in order here. But there are, of course, Cardinals who are known to be advocating for others. And so then they have dinner together, have conversations to get their brother cardinals to think about the possibility of a certain candidate or what gifts that he might bring to the office at this time.
Back in the day, there was a joke, you know, that people would tell in lower echelons that, you know, they would, the blah, 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 is the Pope Italian? But unfortunately, that's not the case anymore, right? So we'll talk about that. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here when we come back about the constituency that will elect this new Pope, how it's changed, what it looks like, and how does that affect the actual election of the Pope? Because, again, these are very educated men, very powerful men, but they're also pragmatic men. They realize that they do have to come up with a Pope. So I just don't understand or wonder how they balance guidance with, and I guess it goes to all of us, with our relationship with God. If are we really hearing God's voice? Or are we hearing what we want to tell ourselves? We're talking to Tim Gabriella, Gudoff Chair in the Catholic Intellectual Traditions of the University of Dayton, about the Papal Conclave that's underway. Got any questions? 504-260-1870. Somebody wants to know about an age that the Pope has to be. We'll address that. And also the age of the cardinals that are taking part in the election. When we come back, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Severe thunderstorm warning is in effect until about 10:15 for Western St. Bernard, Orleans, North Central Jefferson, and Northwestern Plaquemines Parishes. Heavy rain, maybe some small hail, and winds up to 60 miles an hour. A lot of lightning as well. We just had a tremendous crash of lightning here behind me, which means I'm going to have to watch my P's and Q's. As I talk to Tim Gabrielli, Gudoff Chair in Catholic Intellectual Traditions at the University of Dayton, about the papal conclave that begins in a couple of moments here. Professor, when it comes to, and I'm looking at a history of papal elections here, 236 is from the Guardian, I guess it's true. A dove landed on the head of a priest named Fabian. The cardinals took that to be the Holy Spirit descending upon him, and he was unanimously elected pope. Do they look to signs like that, or was that back in the year 236, and now it's a more sophisticated college of cardinals?
Well, I think signs like that, you know, could be things that cardinals might be paying attention to, but certainly there's much accountability for the process and the unfolding of the voting. And I would think if that you would, you know, ask the cardinals about it, they would say, look, God speaks to us in more mundane and regular ways, as opposed to also extraordinary signs. But they are trying to discern, you know, before the break you had mentioned, you know, how do they, you know, if you're listening for the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. Of course, there's...
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Is your old air conditioner running all the time but not cooling your home? Stop wasting energy and money. Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a complete AC cleaning and tune-up. And we'll include, absolutely free, a one-year, no-breakdown guarantee, all for just $89.95. That's right, we guarantee your AC will cool your home for an entire year or your money back. Call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That voice inside you that
Yeah, let me refresh for the audience
direction.
That sure, didn't hear. Sure. And what I said, Professor, was that a lot of us, you know, and that's why I'm always suspicious when I hear a politician say that they heard the voice of God. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, hang on a second now. Because is that the voice of God, or is that the voice of a lobbyist, or is that the voice of you trying to convince yourself this? Tell me about the Cardinals and their thought process.
Sure. So I think that there's a long history in the church of precisely thinking about that question. It's so easy to deceive ourselves, isn't it, into thinking we've got it figured out or the answer is before us. And so, as I say, there's a long history in the church of thinking about this question of discernment. Discernment is being able to sort through, okay, what are the things that I'm thinking about and where is God in that? Now, it's not as easy as doing a math problem, obviously, and it's difficult. But I think we could say that these men who are cardinals have spent a lot of time on retreats throughout their life in prayer, thinking about those kinds of questions of sorting out, okay, I have this inclination. Where is that coming from? Do I bring it in prayer, and do I talk it through with my brother cardinals, and do I listen to what they're saying, or am I putting on blinders and not wanting to hear anybody else's opinion? I think those sort of practices, the great Saint Ignatius of Loyola, a founder of the Jesuits who lived in the 1500s, called this the discernment of spirits, sorting through, right? And you do that in community with others, you do that in prayer. And so I think that these folks who are cardinals in the church are well aware of those sorts of things. Now, does that mean that they're perfect? Absolutely not. Does it mean that there's no pride among them? Or no? Of course they're human beings as well. But I do think that there's a sophistication in thinking through, okay, what is God calling us to, and how might I sort that out from my own proclivities or my own inclinations?
Power has been reported 12,000 power outages in Orleans and Jefferson Parish as we sit through a severe thunderstorm warning and severe weather moving through the area. I believe Entergy knows about it immediately if it goes out, but you can notify them if you want. Let's talk about the College of Cardinals, Professor, and I'm seeing that 80% of them were appointed by Pope Francis. Is that right?
That's correct.
So what does that portend, or can we read anything into that?
Well, I think it is one of the most significant things about Pope Francis's appointment of cardinals is that he has really internationalized the cardinalate. So there are 20 countries, I believe, that have never had a cardinal before. And so there's a sense in which his emphasis on the church going to going to what he would often call the peripheries, those places that are overlooked, who we don't pay attention to, who we don't expect a cardinal to be from. You know, there are certain places around the world that everybody expects that you would have a cardinal from. For example, the Bishop of Venice is expected to be a cardinal, right? But what about the places that we don't pay as much attention to? Pope Francis would say, hey, we should be listening to what's going on in those places. So that's a significant thing. It's not terribly insignificant or terribly unique that he's selected a large percentage of the cardinals who are electors, simply because, you know, he was pope for 12 years, and over that time, cardinals age out of being the under 80, so therefore eligible electors, and others are appointed. I think among them, we shouldn't assume any particular ideological alignment. I think there is a range of thinking about what we should be looking for in the next pope. I do think, though, that it's safe to say that there is a sensibility among the cardinals that there are aspects of Pope Francis's papacy and initiatives that they would like to be seen as continued. I think one of the questions is, what are those aspects, right? What candidate is going to continue certain aspects of Pope Francis's papacy, and what are those aspects going to be?
When it comes to areas where the new cardinals came from, I don't mean to be indelicate about this, Professor, but you do have to get people in the seats, right? I mean, that's what a church is about, and so when it comes to the areas where the Catholic Church is growing, would the cardinals be more likely to elect a pope from one of the areas where the church is experiencing huge growth or where the church is struggling?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And I think, you know, the church is really growing in Asia. It's really growing in sub-Saharan Africa. I think there is some talk about, okay, when will the time be for another pope from Asia? I say another because in the first millennium we had a number of popes from, you know, Syria, for example. But you know, more recently there hasn't been a pope from Asia or from Africa. And so, is this maybe the time? It could be. One of the cardinal electors recently, Cardinal Czerny from Canada, said, you know, we're talking about, you know, particular areas or regions. We should stop speculating about that. Rather, what we're trying to do is seek a pope for 2025, wherever he comes from. So I'm sure there will be conversations about that. You know, there's always conversation about, is it time to get back to a pope from Italy, because the last three popes have not been from Italy. You know, I have a friend in my local church who I walked by the other day, and we kind of exchanged some words about the conclave, and he's from Italy, and he said, surely it's time for an Italian. I just laughed, you know. So there is that sensibility in some ways, but I think overriding will be the question of, okay, what does the church need today? What does the world need today? And who has the gifts that are needed?
Let's talk about, when we come back, Professor, about what the Pope actually does, because he is a spiritual leader, but he's also, I think, an administrator, because he's running a pretty big, and again, I'm not trying to be offensive here, but I don't know if you want to call it a corporation, business, whatever you want to call it, an operation with a lot of assets, let's put it that way, and a lot of different holdings, a lot of different things in a lot of different areas. We'll talk about all of that when we come back. If y'all have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. Let me knock this one out real quick. Professor, is there an age range for the Pope, or can it be any of the cardinals that, or what? Or who can be Pope, matter of fact?
Yeah, that's a great question. And strictly speaking, this may be surprising. Strictly speaking, the cardinals can elect any baptized male. Now, that's but a letter of the law. Now, so, but we should expect that the cardinals will elect one of their own, and typically that's from among the electors, and the electors are under the age 80. And so I think that sometimes there's questions about promising candidates who may be younger, you know, comparatively speaking, so in their late 50s or 60s, and there may be a concern there that, well, he may be Pope for a very long time, and maybe, you know, we want someone who's not going to be Pope for as long. But there isn't any restriction on an age range for the Pope.
And I don't want to get silly here, but you talk about baptized, you're talking about Catholic Church, but what about confirmation, First Communion, all that stuff that they keep the records of? You're supposed to have all that too or not?
Yeah, that'll come.
Okay.
So, but you know, it would be.
I understand. Would you? We're talking theoretical here because it's not going to happen. I understand that.
I just
wondered in case my name should come up. We're talking with Professor Tim Gabrielli about the conclave that's set to begin in a couple of minutes. Now we're under a severe thunderstorm warning until 10:15. 12,000 power outages in Orleans and Jefferson Parish. Be careful out there. If you have any information you want to text into us safely, you can do it. Traffic otherwise, flooded streets at 504-260-1870. We're not hearing anything right now, but if you can safely pass the information along, I'll pass it along as well. 9:37. Speaking of traffic, let's look at it right now on WWL. 9:45, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Severe thunderstorm warning in effect for just about the entire South Shore until 10:15. About 18,000 people are without power, and I'm looking at the map here, primarily Marrero and Timberlane, Tall Timbers in Algiers. St. Bernard Parish is affected, as well as some of Metairie. And I got a text from somebody, a little bit of Uptown, too, it looks like. Somebody texted in and said, will you please get to the weather? Kids are in school, and parents need to get information to them. I have had a kid in school, and I've never texted weather information to him at all, because you would think...
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If they're in school, that's the safest place they could be. So anyway, we're telling you about the weather, and you would think, just relax. Parents, the kids are at school. That's where they're supposed to be. We're talking about the papal conclave with Tim Gabrielli, Gudoff Chair in Catholic Intellectual Traditions at the University of Dayton. So I mentioned before the break, Professor, about the Pope's got to be the spiritual leader, but he's also, I don't know, I guess an administrator. What is the Pope's main job? Is it to run the church, or is that what the curiate does? Does he provide spiritual advice? Take me through that.
Yeah, good question. The main job of the Pope is to be the successor of Peter, the first Pope, and to be the, as you say, the kind of spiritual leader of the church. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have lots of other jobs. With 1.3 billion Catholics across the world, and over 300 dioceses. That's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of Catholics around the world. And the structure of the Vatican, as you described at the Curia, that's really the bureaucracy that helps to administrate the needs of those Catholics around the world. But also, there's this whole arm of the Curia that's focused on humanitarian aid. So Caritas Internationalis is the second largest human aid organization after the Red Cross. So there's also that piece, right, about providing aid to folks irrespective of religion across the world. So it's a lot to manage. I think typically the cardinals are looking for someone with some good administrative experience, but that can come in a variety of contexts, and that's another question about priorities. So there are folks who have a lot of experience in diplomacy. The Vatican's diplomatic efforts have long been highly regarded. Pope John the 23rd in the 60s, for example, played a key role in the resolution of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Interestingly, we saw a meeting between the U.S. President Trump and the President of Ukraine inside the Vatican when they were there for the Pope's funeral.
And John Paul about the fall of the Soviet Union in Poland, right?
That's right. His visit to Poland is seen as a key step in the fall of the Soviet communist regime. So if you think about those ways in which the Vatican diplomatic corps does all this kind of groundwork to really make a space for things like peace talks, for things like, finding resolutions to conflict around the world. This is another element of it. So it could be someone with that kind of diplomatic experience. It could be someone who has experience heading a large diocese. It could be someone with different experience in the Curia, whether it's being involved in the dicastery that's in charge of appointing bishops throughout the world or some other. So I think that the cardinals are looking for someone who has shown administrative experience in some capacity, though that can take a variety of forms.
Can the Pope and the Curia be analogous to any U.S. president and the bureaucracy that is the U.S. government?
I mean, at some level, of course, because it's an organization of human beings. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the main differences is, well, I mean, there are a couple. One, I think Curia means court, the court of a king or a queen. And so there's a long history here, and there's a way of operating in the Curia that maybe is a little different than we think about how a government operates. There's a kind of expectation of certain kinds of interplay among those folks and insiders who know the ropes and others who do not. So I think there's that, but there's also the way in which Catholicism across the world really does look different. Of course, there's unity, but it really does look different in different parts of the world. And so having a sense of that goes even beyond, I would say, having a sense of how things look different in different states in the U.S. It really is does require an ability to know the church in those places that is somewhat distinct.
One quick final question. How does each pope change the papacy? Is the next pope going to have to be more of a down-to-earth pope because of the model that Francis set, or is each pope individual in and of themselves, can go back to the Benedict with the red shoes and the trappings of office, etc.?
Yeah, I think it's anybody's guess. You know, the Italians have this saying that, a skinny pope follows a fat pope, which means, that there's always, you should always expect some kind of contrast. I don't know that always holds up, whether it's in style or substance. I think that sometimes we even tended to overplay the contrast between Pope Francis and Pope Benedict. They were continuous in a number of ways, though of course they had some differences. I think it could be the case. I wouldn't be surprised if it's someone who really continues a lot of Pope Francis's initiatives, but what maybe was a bit more reserved. In the middle of the 20th century, we saw John the 23rd, who was known as Pope of Surprises, called the Second Vatican Council, in many ways had a personality that was sort of like Pope Francis's. And then that was followed by Pope Paul the 6th, who continued a number of priorities from John the 23rd, but tended to be a bit more reserved personality, maybe a bit more perspicacious and thinking through issues. So that could be the case, to follow that model. But we really don't know. There is that enduring mystery of the conclave, and we'll see what emerges.
You're comfortable picking a timeline or not?
Well, I think that, I mean, there's folks who have said this will probably be quick, it'll probably be long. If I were a betting man, my money would be that it would take a few days. I would think maybe a little longer than what the conclave that elected Pope Francis, which was on the third day. I wouldn't be surprised if it went past the break. On Saturday, if a pope has not been elected, the cardinals will take a break, no ballots that day, for prayer, for conversation. And I wouldn't be surprised if we make it through that, because these cardinals really need to get to know one another. And now, of course, that process has started, but they need to get to know one another because, again, they're from across the globe, even more diverse group than we've had previously, and they haven't met together all that often. Now, I think if it goes on for days, there is a pressure that builds, you know, that the cardinals don't want to be perceived as being deeply divided or unsure. And so there's a pressure that builds over time. But I wouldn't be surprised if it takes until early next week. Though, of course, now that I've said that, I'm sure I'll be wrong.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time and insight. Professor Tim Gabrielli, Gudoff Chair in Catholic Intellectual Traditions at the University of Dayton. Severe thunderstorm warning until 10:15 today. It appears as though the worst of it has gone through downtown. 18,000 people without power. Jefferson Orleans Parish will give you the update and let you know everything you need to know here on WWL throughout the day. Taking a quick break, then we'll find out what Newell's got for us on WWL.